You are now listening to the CRC Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Ad Bosco. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
Our television audience here from Tshwane, Pretoria, the capital of South Africa, God bless you. Thank you for being with us. We know that God's going to bless you wherever you are in Jesus' name. Amen. You can take your seat this morning and put a smile on your face. And let's put a turbo in you this morning. Amen. You're not going to end this year shuffling. You're going to end this year running. Amen. How many of you still need God to do something for you before the end of this year? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I read from verse 1. The Bible says, since God is so generously let us in on what He is doing, we're not about to throw up our hands and walk off the job just because we run into occasional trouble. I'm reading from the Message Bible. How many of you know, life can be tough sometimes? It's not a negative statement, but Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He did not say shed a tear, dear. He said, be of good cheer. Amen. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Hallelujah. No matter what you are going through, no matter what you are facing, you have to make up your mind to fight your battles with a positive attitude, with a cheerful attitude in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So Paul says, I have a vision, so no matter what opposition I have towards my mission in life, I'm not about to quit in Jesus' name. In verse 8, he says, we've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we are not demoralized. Hallelujah. We're not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God has not left our side. We've been thrown down, but we haven't been broken. Somebody say that life cannot break me. Say it. I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to get to the positive answers here today, that life can be tough sometimes and things can happen sometimes that want to knock you to the ground, and sometimes there can be tragedy, there can be disappointments, there can be unforeseen circumstances that happen, but we have to make up our mind that every day that we wake up to say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Come on, no matter what is coming your way that day, you better believe that that is going to be a good day in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Say amen in this place. Come on. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Then in verse 13 he says, and since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, we believe and therefore do we speak. We also believe and therefore do we speak. And we're going to talk about the power of your words this morning. I'm actually going to stay here for a few weeks, and next week for the horse lovers, I'm going to have a thoroughbred real horse on the platform. Greg's going to like that. To talk about how you order your conversation. Because sometimes as preachers we make a mistake. We know something and we assume everybody else knows it. So I have to simplify, and I have to get you to get this faith walk under the belt. How to live by faith and how to overcome by faith. And then verse 16, the Bible says, therefore we do not lose heart. Verse 17, he says, our light affliction is but for a moment. Say this morning. Say, my troubles will soon be gone. Uh-huh. Do you believe it? Say, all trouble will soon be something of the past. If you believe it this morning, give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. It says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Check in the 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, the Bible says, for we walk by, say it. So we walk by, and not by, say it again. We walk by, and not by, say it again. We walk by, and not by, ons wandel deur, en nie teen, aanskoue, eta. Ons wandel in geloof en nie 10 aanskouwe, nie teen nie, 10. Ons wandel in geloof en nie 10 aanskouwe nie. How many of you know that this whole world is designed to get you to focus on what you see? So Paul says, because God has allowed me to see the future, I have a vision. When trouble comes, I do not abandon my spirit of faith. I hold on to faith according to what is written. We believe and therefore do we speak. We also believe and therefore do we speak. You better realize this morning, my dear friend, that your words are extremely powerful. And the way you release your faith, firstly, is by the belief in your heart voiced through your mouth. Now, people live this way. People talk this way all the time. This gonna mean that anyone say, I lach myself, do it nie. Oops, net nou verstik jy. Okay, simple example. Well, I'm never gonna get a job in South Africa. They don't have a job. They say, see, I told you so. So we have to understand how faith works. So whether we like to know it or not, people say, well, are you one of those faith people? You better believe I'm one of those faith people. I'm not one of those fear people, and I'm not one of those doubting people. I'm not one of those unbelieving. Yes, I'm one of those faith people. Because the Bible says what? We, number one, walk by faith and not by sight. Number two, we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, the things not seen are eternal. So there's two things you can focus on: what you see and what you can't see. There's the natural and there's the spiritual. Which one is more real? Your lack or the promise of provision? We walk by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. So what messes with your emotions is what you see. What messes with your sentiment is what you see. What can you not see with the natural eye is the promise of God. So Paul says, I know God's will. Therefore, when I run into occasional trouble, I'm not about to throw my hands in the air and quit my dream, my vision, my future, my destiny, my marriage, my business, my career. I'm not about to quit. So number three, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Now we are justified by faith. Justified means just as if I never sinned. Justification by faith, not by the works of the law. Romans 1:17, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2 verse 4, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Galatians chapter 3:11, wrong scripture. It's verse 11, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. That means anything you build in life, you build by faith because you live by faith. So I want to find out how to live by faith, not hope. I want to find out how I live by faith, how I build my future, secure my future by faith. Amen? Amen. Not just a prophecy. I want faith. I want substance. I want something tangible. I want to know how I can change my future. I don't want to live que sera, sera, whatever will be. Number four, or is it number five? Are you counting? Number five, you're wrong. You overcome every battle in life by faith. Anything the devil throws at you, you will overcome obstacles, go through your valleys by faith. Doing what? Walking by faith and not by sight. Not looking at the giants, not looking at the adversity, looking at the promise, the word of God, looking at your shepherd. 1 John 5 verse 4, put it up, the Bible says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Now, this is another scripture. It's not up there. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, the Bible says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you are able to quench every fiery dart of the devil, and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, verse 17 says, which is the word of God. So the Bible says you have to take up something. You have to take up what? You have to take up the shield of faith. And that faith gives you the victory. Every fiery dart of the devil, you will neutralize by the shield of faith. Romans 14:23, last part of that says, number six, whatever is not born of faith is sin. And then finally, your faith is the gift that God gave you to create in your life. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3, the Bible says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So the things that are visible were not made of things that are visible. So everything you see was created out of something you cannot see. So you don't have a job, your faith can create that job, your faith in God and your obedience. You don't have money, then your faith can create it. You don't have peace, your faith will create it. Actually, I missed this one. Through faith you please God. That's actually number five, thank you. Through faith you please God. Hebrews chapter 11 and 6, the Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So you come to God in faith. You please God by faith. You receive your praise answered by faith. You walk by faith. You live by faith. You overcome by faith. So if faith is like my oxygen and my guarantee, I want to know how this faith thing operates. I don't want to live by chance. I want to know how to build a muscle. I want to know how to overcome a mountain, how to overcome a situation, how to calm a storm. Because I live by faith. Now, Paul makes it very clear. He says, one of the things we do is we walk by faith and not by sight. So the first thing he says, we do not look at circumstances like Abram when his body was dead, his wife's body was dead. The Bible says he considered not his own body. Your faith goes when you begin to consider your circumstances. Oh, my husband just left me. Oh, I've got this pain in my toe and this pain in my ear. When you focus on your circumstances rather than on the Word of God, your faith goes. So let's talk about how to release this faith. And there are two things I want to touch on, but especially in the second thing, and I have to rein myself in a little bit so we can do some teaching, because we have to understand principles, because we live by principles. I would love to just pray for all of you and your lives are all blessed. But the truth is your life has already been blessed. You now have to access those blessings by faith in God. As a matter of fact, God's done everything he's ever going to do for you. Jesus help, Jesus help, Jesus says, consider the cross 2,000 years ago. I'm going through a valley. My grace is sufficient for you. I don't have money. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So we have to understand how to live by faith. And it starts with the words that come out of your mouth. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. So you either talk yourself into something or you talk yourself out of something. Your words steer the entire course of your life. Your words will make you or your words will break you. Your words will shape your life or your words will destroy your life. Your words will bring joy or your words will bring confusion. Your words will bring life or your words will bring death. Come on, somebody jump to your feet and give the Lord a good praise out of your mouth. Oh, come on, say something good to the person next to you. Hallelujah. So your words are extremely powerful. With your words you bless or you curse your life, literally. I mean, you watch the fighter before he goes into a fight. If he's positive, he talks positively to himself. I watched that UFC fight, and the guy from Nigeria, Ayasanda, who won, he says, I walked into the ring the day before and I visualized the victory. And I said to myself, the belt is mine. I mean, he's not even born again, because if he talks a little bit longer, you can find out he's not born again. But he's applying a principle that we are created by. So if you go around voicing your doubt, you are going to walk insecure and uncertain. You have to voice your faith. You have to voice your belief. It's going to become clear now in the Word of God. So you better listen to me. When you feel hard-pressed by life or by the devil, when you're under an attack, then you don't voice your weakness for your enemy to hear. You never talk yourself out of any fight. You never voice your doubt and your fear when you stand on the battlefield. You better watch what you say, because your words have power. And sometimes people say, well, I never meant that, but the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's when you're under pressure, when you are being crushed, that your true belief comes out. That's why James says, count it all joy when you go through various trials and tribulations before you open your mouth and you do something wrong. You better have a praise party. You better get yourself in the right frame of mind. You better rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You better get yourself in the right frame of mind, because when you speak something in a moment of anger, from the seat of your heart, you are creating something in your future. Yeah, can you see my words? How did that song go? Words don't matter. Words matter. Words you speak over yourself, and words that you speak over your future, and words that you speak over your spouse, and words that you speak over your children. Your words matter. Your words carry power. You were created in the image and the likeness of God, who created everything you see through His word. Everything God created, He created out of nothing through the spoken word. Are you listening to me? I mean, the Bible says when you're weak, the Bible says let the weak say, I'm strong. Now, I understand sometimes people struggle with depression. They have chemical imbalances, or they have sickness and disease in their bodies. I have a broken disc in my body. I've lived with this broken disc for like 7 years, 8 years. I had two neurosurgeons who wanted to operate me. I chose, with doctors obviously, not to go for the operation. But I speak over my body every single day. Every single day. It doesn't help. I say, well, I've got a pain in my back. I've got, well, I'm not going to say anything. I can't go to gym because I have a, I mean, if you have pain, it means you're alive. Yeah. Amen. But you don't climb out of the battle because of some pain. You don't change your confession. You don't change your momentum. You don't change your attitude. You don't change your tenacity because of opposition. When life presses you, you should press back harder. When life pushes you, you should push back harder. But the first person you have to talk to is yourself. Like David, who looked at himself and said, why are you so cast down, O my soul? He says, what's up with you? You sit off moot for as a flockta. You're in a battle and you're acting like a loser. That's not what he did. He said, yeah, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Hallelujah. You anoint my head with fresh oil. Hallelujah. My cup runneth over. Oh, he declares that while he's in the valley. Somebody, you better shout and you better say, my cup runneth over. You don't wait to sit at the table where you have provision and when you have abundance. You declare it. You declare it in the face of adversity. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. That was when Israel was in a serious battle. And he said, 1,000 will fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, it will not come near me. So he declared it when all hell was breaking loose. You cannot be silent when you're in a battle. And you cannot voice your fears and your feelings and your cares and your sentiment. Because those things will choke the word of God, Mark chapter 4, Matthew 13, and the word will become unfruitful. So cares are things we worry about. Am I going to pay the money? How am I going to pay the school fees? How am I going to afford this? My job just gave me a lower salary, etc. Those things be real. You have to make up your mind to what? To what? To walk by faith and not by sight. To walk by faith and not by sight. You walk by faith. Well, if it was that simple, the Bible would not be so focused to teach us this. You have to every day control your tongue. Every day order your conversation. My kids never ever heard a negative word over their lives. Not once. Not once. As a matter of fact, David, who had club feet when he was 2 years old, they wanted to have him operations. I put his feet in my hands every day and said, you'll be a sportsman, you will run, blah, 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 blah. Spoke, his little feet turned out this way, that way. Benjamin was healed. One day my mother walked in there, and she's a godly woman. She walked in, she looked at that. She says, now I know what the Bible says, but now you have to be real. I said, never ever. Ma, you know I love you. You're a woman of faith, but never ever, 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 walk into my house, my room, and say something negative. I have made, and I can recall this, I made one mistake in my life as a parent with my words, and I own up. Angelique, she was a little, because I taught her and spoke to her, and any parent should do that. Just speak life. Just, you're a genius. You are brilliant. Whatever you set your mind to, you can do. You'll be a leader of leaders. Blah, 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 blah. Because they're little receptors. You'll love people. You'll be a generous person. You just speak, 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 speak. One day she was a little girl. She's a strong girl there. She's gentle, but she's strong. Okay. So I said to her, are you stupid? She pumped, she puts that little feet of hers, and she's a little girl like this. She puts her feet in like this, she says, Daddy, I'm not stupid. I'm not stupid. I said, I'm sorry, so I never said you're stupid, I repent. I have repented ever since then. You can't speak death over your spouse and think your marriage is going to be okay. You cannot speak death over your children and think they're going to turn out to be great. There is life and death in the power of your tongue, and you have to choose your words very selectively and very carefully. Come on, if you believe it this morning, give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. When you're surrounded by trouble, you have to be clear how you position yourself within. Because people are going to come with sentiment, people are going to come with feelings, people are going to come with cares. And remember when Jesus raised Jairus, a little girl, and everybody was weeping and everybody was sentimental, and Jairus required a miracle. What did Jesus do? He shut the voice of sentiment out. Now, sometimes when we, and I don't say we should not weep with those who weep, but sometimes for God to operate, we have to take control over our feeling and sentiment very quickly. Because as soon as you are guided by sentiment and emotion, you will be controlled by what you feel and see more than the Word of God. Let me say it again. Everybody will have adversity at times. Every business at times, although your growth curve is up, if you study the JSE, the stock market, any stock market, you will see nothing just goes upward all the time, although the general trend should be up. Life is just this way. It's up, then down, then up, then down, then up, then level. It is in those times that maybe everything is not going up, or your marriage is not 10 out of 10, but 1 out of 10, but you better watch what you say. And you better deal with your inner belief. Because whatever you say, believing, you are creating. Whatever you say, believing, you are busy creating. Positive or negative. I mean, belief works in both. Belief works positively and negatively. So, I mean, if you look at the 10 spies who came back, they also had belief, but their belief was in their inability to conquer the land. The other two believed in their ability to conquer the land. They saw the same thing. None of the 12 came back neutral. They all believed something, and their belief came out of their mouths. It always does. What you truly believe always comes out of your mouth. And when you open your mouth in belief, you are creating life or death, peace or chaos, joy or what's the opposite of joy? But sorrow, thank you. Amen. How clever. You're creating all the time. So you can be in a bad place, but you can speak alive. So you can be in a tragedy and still say, God, you are good and your mercy endures forever. But then you sorrow differently. You do not weep as those without hope, because your hope remains in God. Your hope remains. You may be going through a tough time, but you're not a person without hope. Because even if you don't know what to do, you declare, Father, I don't know what to do, but I know that you know what to do. You will make a way where there seems to be no way. So you go through your valley with trust, and your confession remains positive. Are you listening to me? Your confession. Now, I understand most people grew up in church and they never heard this kind of stuff, so they think it's false teaching. Because all they ever heard was, you must kerk toe gaan, and you must say amen, and dan sê, hey. And it's like, Christianity was never part of their journey to build their life. Do you understand that Jesus didn't just come to give you, to get you to heaven, but he came to bring heaven to you, our theme next year. He came to get you to walk in victory and to be imitators of God on planet Earth and to be a creator. As God is a creator. So I have to jump a piece of my sermon. I want to show you something because I see all the question marks. Quickly, put up the scripture of the disciples in the storm, Mark chapter 4. Talking about sentiment, emotion. Read quickly. Verse 35, the Bible says, on the same day when the evening had come, he said to the disciples, let us cross over to the other side. Well, that is his promise. Go back. Let us cross over to the other side. Now, Jesus said to you, I'm going to bless you. Jesus said, you'll be the head and not the tail. He doesn't talk about the storm. He gives you the promise. All God gives Abram is the promise. He never talks about the 25-year delay. He says, I'm giving you the land of milk and honey. He doesn't talk about the giants that will try and keep you out of the land of milk and honey. Because he doesn't have to. Because his word is final, you have to fight the good fight of faith and possess the land that God gave you. Now, when they had left, the multitude they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose. It's like people think Peter says, when opposition comes, people think it's weird. What's happening? Am I in the will of God? Well, they're in the perfect will of God, and a great windstorm, not just any windstorm, opposition to their mission. So Paul says, because God let me in on what he is doing and my calling, my future, I'm not about to throw my hands in the air, throw my toys out the cot because of occasional trouble. Because occasional trouble is part of the deal. You bargain on the deal and you don't get the deal. Or something is a sure thing and then you lose it in the final moment. You know what I'm talking about? No, you don't. Okay. Well, if you live long enough, and that's more than 3 years, you will know what it means. We're not meant to live in denial. We're meant to live in victory. To face our battles and to overcome our battles. To face our giants and to overcome our giants. Not to turn a tail and run away. We face our adversity with a bold confession. I mean, when David went to the battlefield, everybody ran away. But David said, your servant will go and fight against this Philistine. What was David doing? That wasn't smack talk. He says, this Goliath is coming down. It's not smack talk. It's not WWF. It's not UFC. This is faith talk. I've slain the lion. I've slain the bear. I've come this far by faith. My future is secure because of faith. Come on, that is faith talk. You have to say it before you will see it. You have to declare it before you will see it. Are you listening to me this morning? Christianity is called the great confession. You can't go through life neutral. You can't go through life silent. And you can't go through life expecting victory, voicing your doubts and your fears and your tears, your sentiments. If you want to taste the victory, you can only voice the promise. Because we what? We walk by faith and not by sight. You can't voice your uncertainties. Well, you choose. Truth or reality? Reality is what you see. Truth is what God says. We walk by faith, truth, and not by sight, reality. Now, for some people, they claim it's too high because they don't want to practice the laws of faith. It's like people want to be in shape in gym, but they don't want to go to gym. Hebrews chapter 6, the Bible says, just like that, God says, do not be lazy, do not be slothful, but be followers of those who through faith and patience, endurance, inherit the promises. So there's no easy, no short, no quick fix. Discipline, mastering your tongue. Because when you master your tongue, you are mature and your tongue becomes a greater force. We're going to talk about that next week. Because I so often just run over this because it's such a simple principle. But I think it is the principle that hijacks more people from living in victory than anything else. Because they don't have a control of their tongue and they don't realize the, what they say in belief. And sometimes your the thing you believe the most is when you voice, when you're the angriest, you feel the most hurt, you're the most disappointed. And you create more chaos. Because that storm that comes into your life, God wants you to conquer the storm. Are you listening to me? Like I said last week, it really doesn't matter where you are in the valley. It matters that you move on through the valley. Because no valley is endless. You can't camp in the valley being depressed. Put a little tent of depression, or a little tent of discouragement, or a little tent of doubt, or a little tent of backsliding. You have to move on through with your eyes on Jesus, looking unto Jesus. Are you with me? Hard work om te luister, nee. We watch a movie, we stay awake. We hear the principle that will save your life, we get tired. I'm dealing with this in the evenings. It's like people don't have a hunger for progress. I don't know why. And if you don't have a hunger to progress, you will have no discipline. You're just happy with the status quo. I mean, the easy thing is, let's just all sit back and wait for the government to come, zubba to be down, do something. Well, they haven't for 25 years. That means they never are going to. It's part of all their election rubbish promises. Now fall out of your head, Chair. And I'm talking to all political parties. If Jesus meant for the government to save you, he would have sent a politician. So we pray for our government, but we walk by faith. Because the word of God will work in every environment, no matter what the government decides. His word is not bound. Maybe your mind is, but his word is not bound. And people waiting for the government. No. You can get yourself out of the squatter camp through your faith in God. Little by little. Not you move out of the squatter camp today and tomorrow you live in a mansion. It's not what I said. Maybe 25 years you live in the mansion. But are you ready for the discipline journey? No. Because we want everything now. Not even God gave Israel the promised land immediately. He said you will possess it little by little. Little by little. It took a whole generation to possess the promised land. He said, I'm not just going to drop it into your laps. What did we do in South Africa? You don't have a degree, but you want to be a director. You don't have a degree, but you want to run the company. You've not been able to manage your house or your personal budget, but you want to manage a department. How does it even make sense? You can't even manage yourself, but you want to manage a business. I mean, if you manage a business, you first have to manage yourself. If you can't manage your own sentiment, emotion, fears, how are you going to manage your staff? You won't. That's why the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation, it comes to an individual. And progress follows an individual, never a committee. So you can go as far as you want to. Male, female, young, old, doesn't matter. Your belief is what matters. Your belief. Not people saying to David, you're not able. He said, I've slain the lion, I've slain the bear. I know exactly who I am. I'm taking this Goliath down. Amen. But if you doubt yourself, if you become casual with your destiny, you'll just become a happy camper. And everybody else is going to run past you. Well, not everybody else, because I saw our little people have a hunger to progress. It's actually sad. One of the saddest things in this world is how few people actually want to get on in life. And then they criticize those who want to get on in life, but God actually created all of us with a desire to get on. Move along. Climb up. Glory to glory. Amen. Higher. Head and not the tail. Top dog. Who? Come on. That's who we should be. That's what God called us to be. That's the desire we should be. I should look better this year than I did last year. run my business better. Amen. I'll be finished now. So a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so it was about to sink. So it looked like the business is sinking. The party is sinking. Whoops. Something is sinking. It looks like it's sinking. And and the things are, the debt is piling up. The circumstances are piling up. The enemies are piling up. David is surrounded by enemies, but he looks at the favor of God that surrounds him. He knows he's got an inner protection, blah, 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 blah. He knows what nobody else does because he looks at what nobody else does. When Elisha woke up with his servant and he said, oh, alas, my master, the armies of Syria, and he said, more are those that are for us than those that would be against us. He was wired differently. He focused on the different thing. He said the different thing. And those are the people that progress in life. Not one day they look at what God says, and then the next week they look at what the world says. So he walks by faith. He walks in the Spirit. Amen. I mean, you can be in South Africa and one deal can set you up for life. You can do a business deal with somebody in America. Even if the economy crashes in Africa, you can still, through faith, do business with somebody in Australia. But you don't have to go down with a ship. I mean, Jesus wasn't going to go down. The boat is filling with water and Jesus is asleep. Because he said, we're going to the other side. He never doubted what he said. Even though he actually was waiting for the disciples to do something. And rather than the disciples taking authority, they spoke about their fears and their concerns. And they magnified their situation. Are you listening? So he's in the stern asleep on a pillow. On a pillow. Not only I like a pillow, Jesus liked a pillow as well. Not just any pillow. Amen. Get to some hotels, you can't sleep. And they awoke up and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? I mean, how can you say to God, don't you care? And just in the same chapter, Mark chapter 4, Jesus just taught them what chokes the word. And one of the things that choke the word and causes it to become unfruitful is the cares of this life. Enter in and choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. So they focused on their cares and not the promise. That's why at the end of this story, Jesus rebukes them. I mean, doesn't say, oh, I'm sorry, I took a nap, I slept too long. You poor things, you poor baby men, you poor men with swords armed to the teeth, you poor men. I'm so sorry I took a nap. What was I thinking? He rose and he rebuked. He deals with the origin. Listen now. He deals with the force behind the force. Because he walks by faith and not by sight. He deals with a force behind, a demonic force, whatever is the cause of your trouble. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. With authority says, peace. And then to the wave, the wind, be still. And immediately these are gone. So he does two things. He deals with the origin. And then he calls what is not as though it is. Both with his mouth. And the Bible says he rebukes them. And he says, why are you so fearful? Where is your faith? And they're exceeding afraid a second time. And they say, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Well, now Jesus sent us. He said, as my Father sent me, so send I you. We are called, in John chapter 40, verse 12, he said, the works that I do, you will do also, and greater works than these. This is Bible. This is how we're called to live. This is how we are called to change our environment, our world, by faith, believing in our hearts and speaking with our mouths. And I'm going to say it again. It's working in any case. Because people are saying these things negatively. Oh, he's never going to change. She's never going to change. I'm never going to get a job. I'll never be able to afford this. And blah, 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 blah. And He says, just as you've spoken in my hearing, so I will do. So we're going to talk about it next week, how to order your conversation. And you don't want to miss it if you want to order the future that God has for you. People come and they say, but I can't dictate to God. I never said you dictate to God. I said you find out what God's will is, and then you walk the journey in faith. And that requires that you imitate to God. You know the will of God, and then you walk the will of God, and you face your hell and your devil and your Goliath and your mountain and your obstacle, and you stand strong by faith because the will of God has been revealed.
If this powerful message has touched your life and you'd like to give your life to Jesus, pray the following prayer.
Say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for accepting me just as I am. Lord, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Lord, I believe that you died for me, that you rose again, and that you live forevermore. Thank you, Father, that I can have this new life. I choose today to live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.